Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
I mean, come to think of it, who would not want to be pastored by Reverend Tembo? Shouting away your sorrow. Shouting away.
Hallelujah. I only pray that we really received the word of prophecy that came from him to us. Hallelujah. Because, you see, when a man who is anointed speaks, let me tell you something. Because of the anointing, even if he's lying, God will bring it to pass and have a way of dealing with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight I believe the Lord will do something in our lives that we'll not forget in a hurry. In the name of Jesus. Reverend Tende, thank you so much. I honor you, sir. Mama, God bless you. Thank you so much. Pastor Anointed, the Lord bless you and your lovely wife. Every other man of God here, Reverend Vanduma, God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. When you hold my hands, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hands, everything becomes possible. When you hold my hands, everything becomes possible. When you hold
Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, help us tonight. In the name of Jesus. Let there be the hearing of faith and the working of miracles. Let Jesus be glorified tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Please be seated. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Yesterday we began to explore along the lines of the theme for the conference, the will of God. And I said a number of things I would quickly want to recap before we deal with the business of tonight. I did tell us a number of things about the Word of God. Among them, that the Word of God is a revelation of His methodology. The Word of God is a compendium of His thoughts and character. Remember that a man's thoughts and character can be captured and conveyed in and through his words. And that one of the ways that we discern the will of God is by understanding His character. And on the strength of that knowledge, we can judge anything around us, whether or not it is consistent with the character of God. So the knowledge of the character of God itself is a system for discernment. Are we together? That when you know who God is and what He can do, then you know what is not God. Just by knowing who He is. Are we together? So the Word of God reveals to us the thoughts of God and the character of God. We dwelt yesterday looking at the will of God, not necessarily in terms of direction. We looked at it in terms of His established will for us. Are we together? And that there's no point making any inquiry from God through any other mechanism when His character has revealed His intention, as revealed in the Bible. And then we did say that would require transformation. Say transformation. Transformation, because His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways not our ways. We must allow the Word of God to upgrade us to a level and a realm where we see things and think like God. So the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Permit this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We also looked at Romans chapter 14 verse 17 as the second spiritual channel for discerning and understanding the will of God, the coexistence of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, just doing a quick recap, but it's in righteousness. I told you righteousness there is not just the nature as it is when we talk about the believer in Christ. It's talking about God's methodology. That means in anything you seek to know the will of God about, you have to find out whether it is done according to His pattern. If it's not according to God's pattern, then it is not Him. God is not only a God of results, He's a God of patterns. How results happen matters to Him. Are we together? So righteousness, peace, and joy. And let me tell you this, it will surprise you to know that second only to the character of God, over 70% of your spiritual direction will come from this mystery. The coexistence of righteousness, peace, and joy. It's true. A number of believers suffer casualties because somewhere along the line, we either through an insensitive spirit or allowing the flesh to rise above the spirit at any given point, we do not allow that sensitivity, I'll be teaching more on that tonight, to help us discern when the peace of God, the Bible says, peace I give you, said my peace. That means there are other kinds of peace, but my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Are we together? His peace can be a garrison, a fortification, so that you can look at something that looks impossible, but the peace of God is still there. And God will tell you, keep moving, I'm still there. You don't use results to know necessarily whether God is there or not. No. The results happen in the end. His peace will continue to guide you until His word prevails. Are we together? And we spoke about joy in the Holy Ghost. This is very powerful. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Looks like happiness, you know. You were rejoicing and just celebrating the hand of God. You would think that it was just an emotional thing until you find out how difficult it is to rejoice. You have to be assisted to rejoice. Are we together? The reality of the challenges and the issues that befall the average man does not even allow any sense of joy and happiness. So you have to be empowered by the Spirit to rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And tonight, I told you that we are going to explore the voice of God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, broadly speaking, is what we are looking at as the third spiritual channel for accessing the will of God, the mind of God. But then I will focus on the voice of God. Give us understanding, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Psalm 68. Please open your spirit. I believe that what you will hear tonight will really, really bless you. Psalm 68 and verse 33. Read with me, please, if you are a believer. One, two, read. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and a mighty voice. So the Bible tells us God can send his voice, not just his word. His voice can also be sent to a man. John said, I am the voice, not I have a voice. I am the voice of one crying. So a voice can be personified. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible speaking says, and they heard the voice of the Lord. Please read with me. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. What was the voice doing? Talk to me. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Not they heard the Lord. They had the voice like a person sent walking to communicate with someone else. Are we together? And they heard the voice. They heard it, but the voice had legs. It was walking. This is a powerful revelation that I want to show you. Because in addition to understanding God's character, in addition to righteousness, peace, and joy, one of the greatest advantages, let me tell you the truth, that can happen to a believer is to know the voice of God. You will pay for it again and again and again and again and again if you lack capacity to hear the voice of God. It's one of the mysteries of the presence of the Holy Spirit in a believer. And it had the voice of God walking in the cool of the day. One of the advantages of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer, among other things, the Bible says, I have many things to tell you now, but ye cannot bear them. It says, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? The Bible says he will guide you into all truth, not some. There is a body of truth allocated for your understanding, and it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide a believer, navigate you through the path that leads you to that understanding. Are we together? And then the Bible says that he will teach you all things. How many things? He will teach you all things. And so the Holy Spirit, if he's a teacher, then there must be a system of hearing him. Are we together? Please talk to me. You cannot really understand what a man is saying as a teacher if you cannot hear him. Are we together? Yes. When a teacher talks, he says, listen to me. That means you have to pay attention. That means your ears will be used. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear. That means for you to hear the Holy Spirit, there is a kind of ear you must have. Not everybody has that kind of ear. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That ear is not at the side of your face. That ear is in your spirit. It says, he that hath an ear, please listen very carefully, let him hear. If everyone had it, then the Bible would not need to say, he that hath an ear. That means something can happen to a believer. Remember, I said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Something was done to my sheep that can cause them to hear my voice. Hallelujah. The voice of God. Now, generally speaking, the voice of God does not necessarily, having just established a few things about the voice of God, the voice of God does not necessarily mean the speakings of God. The voice of God is used generically as voice, but there are many dimensions to it. The speakings of God is just an aspect of the voice of God. The goal of the voice of God is to transfer the thoughts and the intents of God into the spirit and then the mind of a believer. Are we together now? So it is not limited to his speaking. I give you an example. If I ask you, buy me McLean, you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't necessarily mean the toothpaste brand McLean. But for some reason, either because of use or whatever, it has been selected to represent. If I say, buy me Maggi, you can even say which one. Are we together now? So when the Bible says the voice of God, he is only capturing a dimension that helps the man he's speaking to relate with what he's saying. But that the voice of God is not limited to his speakings alone. Are we together? It's generally referred to as the voice of God. The voice of God refers to every spiritual means of communicating the thoughts of God to a believer. It's called the voice of God. Every spiritual avenue, every spiritual system designed by the wisdom of God to convey his intent per time, per season to the believer is called the voice of God. Because you see, the entire goal of hearing God is to be able to receive that which he intends for you. I think it was Pastor Shegu, or I can't remember who I used yesterday for an example. Let me just use two people again. And okay, you can come, sir. And any other person, pastors, you can just let's have the protocol. Okay, watch this. Please stand, gentlemen. Just face me. Look at me. Now, do whatever you think. I'm going to just ask something, and I'll give you the mic to say what you think I said. Okay? What do you think I said?
That I should jump.
What do you think I
said? He said you should jump.
You see that? Now, this one can say, I said you should rise up. Another person said you should jump. The most important thing is the thought reached. Whether the linguistic expression is just a product of the mind and your personal orientation. But the most important thing is that they got the thoughts. If I now do it this way, I'm just an example. If I do this way, he can say, I said sit down. This one can say sit on the floor. So in the interpretation, it will look like God said sit on the floor. God does not speak English. His language is light. Listen, understand this. The language of God is light. The language of God is not Greek, it's not Hebrew, it's not English, it's not Hausa. There's nowhere. It always looks according to the... Remember the Bible says holy men wrote as they were inspired, meaning that their minds were active in the writing of Scripture. But the Bible says the entrance of thy word, what does it give? Talk to me. Light. The language of God is light. In that light is the essence of his communication. If you have a phone, just lift it up and put it down. Okay, watch this. Pastor Shegu, have you seen a situation where I send you a message? I'm typing something on my phone now. I'm seeing what I'm sending. The moment I press send, I don't see it again. It leaks into the realm of the spirit. This is technology now. And then finds the exact phone because I attach a number to it. And then it gets to that phone. But in your phone is a mechanism to interpret what was sent so that you will understand. There are times that you can receive something in your phone that does not have the capacity to interpret. It will do its best to conjure whatever it can put together in an attempt to communicate what was sent. Remember those early phones? You can send an MMS and it will just interpret it as rubbish. It's not rubbish. It's doing its best to help you see. When you upgrade the phone, the message becomes clear. Are we together now? Thank you, guys. The language of God is not English. Your mind has been educated to understand English. The language of God is not Greek. It's not Hebrews. But the other day, God told me, stand not wrong. But then you are wrong based on this teaching too. Are we together? You are not wrong in that your mind, the level of intelligence and the level of orientation in your mind is the instrument that God will use to interpret that essence of light. So the Bible says the entrance of thy word giveth light. That's the voice of God to you. But the challenge now is that a renewed mind needs to participate with that light to create understanding. Are we blessed? So the voice of God is not just limited to his speakings. The voice of God refers to every spiritual channel that he employs to communicate his thoughts and his intent to the believer. And we're going to explore three of them very quickly. Number one, the witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Please pay attention. Let's be sensitive tonight. I believe that we are not only teaching, like Pastor said, I believe that even in this, God is going to be activating these things because God wants to bring us to a higher level of spiritual understanding, and then not just to have the understanding, but to have the requisite level of grace to defend that knowledge that we have. Are we together? Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Please read with me. 1, 2, read. Beareth witness that we are the children of God. Now, he's just speaking with respect to redemption, but it's not just limited to redemption. He's explaining and revealing a character, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, that the Holy Spirit can bear witness. There is something the Spirit of God can do to the spirit of man. Witness has to do with validation, confirmation. Are we together? When we say you are a witness, you are a validator of a point. You are a validator of a truth. And the Bible says the Spirit himself, that he bears witness with our spirits, that we are the children of God. That means the Spirit of God can bear witness with my spirit that this is the will of God. The Spirit can bear witness. The witness of the Spirit is a dimension of spiritual operation that the carnal man cannot understand, because your organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit must be heightened and alive to understand this. You see, not every spiritual thing has a physical equivalent. So it's very difficult to talk to the carnal man. Are we together? Because the system of interpreting it, creating a physical parallel to it, may not be there. One of it is the witness of the spirit. The witness of the spirit. Great men like Kenneth E. Hagin will call it the knowing of the spirit. The fortitude to know. A persuasion that cannot be explained. That you know, I can know there is danger. Are we together? I can know this is the will of God for me. I can know I should be here. I can know I should not be there. Lord, do I do this? And then the witness of the spirit comes. Usually, the witness of the spirit works alongside all these other channels. You see, let me tell you, depending on the level and the gravity of what you want to do relative to God's purpose for you, He will employ multiple channels, because you will need a stronger level of certainty. The kind of conviction you will get to choose the clothes that you will wear is not the kind of conviction you will get to start ministry. No. They don't play the same role to your destiny and ultimately God's will. So He will employ it is within His predeterminate counsel to select at any given time, and also dependent on your level of yieldedness. For Joseph, he used a dream. You see, these dreams you see, I know that dreams today have been hijacked and corrupted, but for God to use a dream to preserve Jesus, that means that these dreams and visions that we have is not ordinary. It's an advantage that was given by God to men to order their lives. Are we together? It was Joseph that had a dream. He saw the sun, the moon, 11 stars bowing to him. It was a representation of his destiny. Say the witness of the Spirit. If you experience this dimension of the ministry and the leading of the Spirit, is proof, listen very carefully, is proof that your spirit has been built. You see, there is a threshold level that the spirit of man must be built to receive this kind of seed. Are we together now? And so if you are not spiritually matured enough, in His mercy, He will employ whatever means that can reach you. But sometimes the direction you are looking for requires a superior level of conviction because of the challenges that stand before you. Hence the need to upgrade your spirit so that God has greater tools to communicate through every way. He can use a dream, then a witness in your spirit, then peace again, then His word, and you are unmovable. Whatever stands before you, the channels are too many to cause you to doubt. Are we together now? If I ask the Lord, should I eat rice or beans? The wisdom of the word will answer me straight to the point. Are we together? That is God speaking, but the wisdom that is apportioned. Are we together now? Yes. You're not going to hear a voice from heaven, eat beans. No, that's a wasted project. God doesn't have that kind of time. I mean, why then did he give the word? Are we together? But now you are about to start a ministry. The destinies of millions are part of it. Their own call is in your call. No, God is not just going to use one careless dream and end there. There will be multiple channels because your convictions have to be strong. Believers one day will tell you you are wrong. You will need to go back to the archives of the multiple channels. On the strength of the voice of God, you can stand. With two members, after 4 years, you say, God still sent me. I know. I know. But I know whom I believe. And I am, help me. That's the word I'm looking for. Persuaded. You don't get persuaded just, no. There is something that must happen to a man to persuade him. Unbendable, unmovable. Hallelujah. Say after me, the witness of the Spirit. The key to accessing this dimension of the witness of the Spirit is praying in the Spirit. Listen very carefully. This is not a Pentecostal phenomenon for people who are charismatic. No. It's an advantage. It's an advantage. It's one of the hidden wisdom of God that the princes of this world did not know. The Bible says, are we together now? Yes. It said that we speak this mystery, this wisdom in a mystery. Praying in the Holy Ghost. It says, but ye, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2, he said, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Are we together? And then verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, edifieth. You've heard it again and again. Your pastor has graciously blessed the body of Christ with a book that has brought clarity over that subject. Edifieth himself. When you pray in tongues, many things happen. It's important to understand the many things that happen. We're going to explore some of them. I don't want to go ahead of myself. But one of the things that happens to a believer when he prays in tongues, that's why you should pray in tongues as often as possible. Are we together? That your organs of interacting with the realm of the spirit is activated and then heightened so that you can pick spiritual signals with razor sharp accuracy. Praying in the spirit has a way of causing your spirit to rise above the limitations of the flesh, and you can hear and you can discern. The Bible says there is as it were many voices, and it says none of them is without significance. When you continually pray in the spirit, you will rise to a point where you will hear a voice like God, but no, this is not God. Your spirit has been alive. The signal is strong. Remember that you can tap, I don't know what radio stations are around, but have you been at a place where you are just at the boundary of that state and you are hearing, but it's not really very clear. Are we together? Sometimes you can shift just a few meters and then it's back. So your praying in the spirit is like shifting you in the realm of the spirit. That conformity is happening again and again. Are we together now? The witness of the spirit. There are many people who have been saved from death because of the witness of the spirit. There are many people who have been directed aright because of the witness of the spirit. The spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I'm in the will of God. Because you see, it's not every time you are going to hear go. There are times you will start moving, and if it's God, he will say stop. It's not always go. The witness of the spirit can supply that strength, that confirmation. You will need it in ministry. You will need it in life. Are we together? Yes. Especially when results have not yet started manifesting. You know, when results are manifesting, they can encourage you. They can support your conviction. But before then, among the various channels is the witness of the Spirit. The Spirit himself can bear witness with my spirit that this is my pastor. The Spirit himself can bear witness with my spirit that this is my church. The Spirit himself can bear witness that I should be in Zaria at this point. Are we together? The witness of the Spirit is very strange because a carnal man will not understand. If you tell him a dream and he listens, he can interpret the dream from the lens of his orientation and say, it makes sense. But how do you explain to someone you are having the witness of the Spirit? There is no physical way of making them aware. Are we together? The witness of the Spirit. As I pray in tongues, many things begin to happen to me, among them this, the witness of the Spirit. It's similar to discernment, but it's not exactly discernment. We're going to go to discernment, and you'll learn a lot here. The witness of the Spirit. He can even choose, oftentimes, the witness of the Spirit goes along with his peace. That's why I'm telling you, this peace and joy and righteousness, don't joke with it. Because the witness of the Spirit, many times, they interplay themselves. It will take the spirit of revelation to help you decipher which is which. Because physically speaking, or as far as it is, the results are to you, you may not even know which one is the witness and which one is peace. They are interplaying themselves together. The moment your peace is seized, the moment there is a restraint, that's the word, a restraint, what is wrong? The moment they release, I don't know this man, but I love him. I don't know, I just, you call it sense in my spirit that there is something he has to do. I don't know you, sir, but are you a man of God? He says, yes, sir. You are a prophet of God. Yes, sir. Can you pray for me? Ah, so this was what I was sensing from my house, that I should go northwards. The witness of the Spirit. Are we together? You can be in a place and look at someone and know by the witness of the Spirit, I should not be here. The steps of a good man are ordered. And one of the ways the Lord orders our steps is the witness of the Spirit. You see, we must be alive to the Spirit, honestly. Otherwise, some of these signs, especially in the days that we live in, we need to be alive to all these spiritual mechanisms. The witness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Imagine how many people have been jailed who are innocent because the police officers did not have this fortitude to access the witness of the Spirit. You can see someone looking like a thief, but he's the most honest man in your life. Just because he looks like a thief, you don't punish him for lack of excellence. Are we together? Agreed, he may not be excellent enough to look like a responsible person, but he may be honest. The witness of the Spirit. In the midst of that conversation, there is capacity to decipher. And it comes exclusively by praying in the Spirit. That's why when you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, what you hear should not really be trusted except by the mercy of God. If you are really not filled with the Holy Spirit, are we together? You are at a level where any kind of network can find you. You've not risen to the hill. There are some networks that cannot get to certain places. When your spirit man ascends to that dimension, it says, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? There is a plane that you stand when you hear something, you know this is God. Are we together? Number two. Let me hurry up because I want us to pray. Discernment. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Discernment. Discernment. Can we just pray in the Spirit in 1 minute? It's a charismatic conference. We are discussing very deep matters of the Spirit. Please pray. Our destinies are tied to this. This is not one of the topics you just wave around. No, this is, you need this for life and godliness. Hallelujah. The Bible age. It says, those who by reason of use, listen very carefully, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The clearest way to explain discernment scientifically is your sense of smell. Are we together? It's the closest expression to how discernment works. Listen. Discernment works similarly to the witness of the Spirit, but in the case of discernment, listen, it's a stronger depth of conviction. It's a knowing, listen, it's a knowing that works with not just your knowledge, it even works with your imagination. You can, through discernment, know an angel is here. You are not seeing a vision. You will think you are lying. Are we together? You can, through discernment, know the kind of anointing that is in a place. You don't have to be told. And it's not just that God has trained your body to identify certain kinds of anointings. Those are personalized healings. We are talking about a spiritual doctrine that is valid for all men. That a man's spirit can be discerned to pick spiritual signals. To understand the motivation, the motive behind occurrences. With discernment, you can know when a man of God is preaching and when he has entered the flesh. Although mighty things can still be happening, you will know, no. At this point, the Spirit of God rounded up this service already. This one is the flesh manifesting. Discernment is very powerful. Very very, very powerful. You are a man of God and you want to operate in the anointing, you will need discernment. You will need discernment. It's not always something that you can physically relate with. You can train your discernment. It's a sense of spiritual perception. The ability to perceive the realm of the spirit as though you are there. Why? Because you have a mechanism. You are a spirit. And by reason of being a spirit, it is legal for you to be able to interact with the realm, the atmosphere of the realm of the spirit. You need discernment. You can train your discernment such that you know exactly when the anointing is in the place, when God wants to move, when God wants to move this way, the ministry, the operation of angels is important. You're a man of God here, you must press for a superior dimension of discernment. By discernment, you can look at someone and he comes and kneels and says, Pastor, I want to work with you. And you've already seen the end, not by a vision. Discernment. The quality of spiritual perception. Because you see, the realm of the spirit is not governed by time and space. I hope you know that. These factors do not exist. So when you are discerning, there is no limit to the information you can capture within your moment of discernment. I can look at a man and tell you after 10 years, except the mercy of God helps this person, or except he's planted in a correct place, this person will fail. I'm not predicting doom. I'm not insulting the person. I have captured that the way he or she is going. I can look at someone today who can be holding a bottle of beer and by discernment tell you this is a mighty man of God. Give him 5 years and you will watch and see something very strange. Pastors, we need this. Because remember, we need members. We need workers. Discernment will help us prune people. Who will allow the devil to come and corrupt the labor of the spirits that we are doing. Discernment is very powerful. People have been given positions in church because there was election, but there was no discernment. Discernment should veto every other thing. A powerful spiritual quality. Hallelujah. If you operate in the gifts of the spirit, your discernment must be heightened. It will minimize inaccuracy in your life. Otherwise, you would tell people things later on, you will find out that's not what God is saying. You need discernment. It's a sense of perception. You can discern faith. The Bible says that the apostle was preaching and he saw a man and he perceived that he had faith to be healed. Discernment is the quality that will let you know when God wants you to now begin to speak and declare. It's called discernment. You see, let me tell you, spiritual timing is very important. All things don't happen all the time. You must have the discernment to know when God is doing what so that you plunge into it. Everybody say discernment. Say, I receive grace for discernment. Strange as it is, the same way the witness of the spirit is trained, that's the same way discernment is trained, by praying in the spirit. Let me tell you, one of the classic standard proofs of your spiritual health is your depth of discernment. When you are a man of prayer, discernment is something that you will see in. I can know that you are a man of prayer by how heightened your level of discernment is. It's true. Things should not just cross over and above you and you are totally unaware. There's something wrong. Are we together now? Discernment. A sense of perception. A sense of perception. A sense of perception. It can look like it is an imagination. It can look like it is visionary. But many times you may not see anything. That's why for many of us, when you started walking in this dimension, you felt guilty and you stopped because you thought you were lying. Are we together? Yes. I just feel like there are angels here. And they say, which angel? You? Which one did you see? When did you start praying that? Say, don't tell us lies here. And truly, truly, you just say, let me just shut my big mouth. I'm not sure that there is any angel here. You may not be wrong. It is discernment that makes you to know you are not alone in a room. And sometimes you can turn multiple times. You know It's a signal. Your spirit is preaching it. You are not alone. It's true. See, all these things, they are the things that make believers invincible. It is the presence of all these advantages. So you can look like an ordinary man with another person, but you are plugged to many systems that constitute an advantage to your life. Do you know discernment can help you know they are talking about you? You can enter a room and the residue of the presence of the gossip and deals, you receive it like an antenna. Well done, sir. And you know, no, a conversation was here. A man can finish. Boom, you enter and know that prayer just finished here. Very powerful. It will save you. You will need it in life. You will need it in ministry. It will guide you. It will minimize error in your life. I'd like you to open your mouth in 1 minute and cry for a fresh grace. Fresh grace. An enablement of the Spirit that can cause me, grant me capacity. Lord, I'm tired of mistakes. I'm ready to walk circumspectly. In this charismatic conference, there is a level of accuracy I press through by faith. And Lord, I pray that you grant me discernment. I have joined myself to associations that I should not, because I could not perceive, I could not discern. It will help you in marriage. It will help you in relationships. It will help you in business. It will help you in ministry. Discernment. Lift your voice and pray. We are praying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Discernment. It's a powerful spiritual quality. You can discern. You can discern an anointing. Look, let me tell you. Now, when it comes to discernment, I have to be honest with you. Praying in the Spirit is not the only factor that governs discernment. Your call and your office can configure you in a way that almost by default, the moment you accept the anointing and the grace of your call, depending on what that call is, it can align and reconfigure you so that you have a greater fortitude to obtain discernment. It's true. Are we together? You can find someone, for instance, who may have, let's say, an apostolic or a prophetic call, not by name, truly, truly. Are we together? By call and office, you find out that even when you were not even very serious with spiritual things, it seemed like there was a configuration within you to be able to perceive things. The election of grace can make for that. Discernment can be imparted. It's true. It's true. Discernment can be imparted. You can come into an atmosphere like this, and while the word of God is going on, part of the distribution of the activations and the realities that God is distributing, it can all of a sudden quicken your discernment, and you will be surprised to find out all of a sudden that you have a superior dimension of perception. You leave the charismatic conference and you begin to pick signals in a very strange way. You will go back and open your book and you wrote 12 things that you thought it was God. You start counseling them and you leave 5. You say, no, after all, nobody exactly told me this is not God. Something happened to me. These are when you see. It is on the strength of these provisions that we can say a believer is superior. We are not just superior in name. There is an explanation. There is a science to our superiority. Are we together? You can put together the factors that have been added to my life by reason of being in Christ. So that it's not just in talk. I am an ordinary man. But you watch my life to see results that should not be gotten by men. And I'm explaining to you, for instance, that it is on the strength of these provisions. These are the things that help you to appreciate the goodness of God and to honor a believer. When someone tells you he's born again, you don't trivialize it. Because it means that I plug myself to an endless potential among them, this capacity to draw realities from the realm of the Spirit.
Now people get born again and they just move as if they are mourning. You know, you are finished, just follow this way, and they are dragging in anger, and they are no. Amen. Number three, if God is blessing you, say amen.
Amen.
Let's talk about the speakings of God now. What you call the voice of God, the speakings of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Are you blessed so far? When Jesus came out of the water, he went to be baptized, and seeing John discerning by the Spirit, he said, "Behold the Lamb." Remember, John was a prophet. John was not a Baptist. John was a prophet. Baptism was a strategy given to him in the wilderness to identify the Christ. That's why after the Christ, there's no record of him baptizing anyone again. Are we together? So John was a prophet. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And so John sees Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world." And Jesus is saying, "Okay, let me, you know, baptize me and all of that." And John is saying, no, I'm not worthy to do this, etc. And after all that conversation, the Bible says he's dipped in water. And the moment he comes out, the Bible says, and then the heaven opens. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then he says, "Hear ye him." Very powerful. Very, very powerful. God speaks. Everybody say it. If you were created in his image and you speak, then it means God speaks. Are we together? God speaks. It's a very powerful revelation. Idols don't speak. The demons behind them help them to speak, or makes it look like they are speaking. But God speaks. Every one of the Godhead as revealed in Scripture, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all speak. The Word spoke all through his earthly ministry. The Father from heaven speaks. And then the Bible says the Spirit speaketh expressly to the churches. The Spirit doesn't just speak, he can speak expressly. Are we together now? So God speaks, the Father, the Son, the Word speaks, the Logos of God, and then the Spirit of God speaks. I hope you know that, listen carefully, every spiritual communication that gets to man is enhanced by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen, it is the Holy Spirit that gives life and a voice to the Word. Now, this is very powerful. That is the reason why you can have Scripture and have no life and power in it. Are we together now? The Bible says, ever learning, say, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The power behind the Word is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as one of the Godhead, has an office. And it's important to study the operations that are within his office. And one of it is to make the Word of God clear. The communications that are in the heart of the Father clear to the saints. Are we together? First Corinthians, Paul the Apostle. I love Paul. Goodness. Paul is a man who told us first the basis of his revelation. His apostleship. He said that he was called to be a partaker, a fellowship into the mysteries. That so that whoever read his epistles will understand the basis of his authority. Are we together? Let me just give you a little introduction. Please give us 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll begin to read from verse 8 and then we'll stop at hopefully verse 12. But now watch this. Paul, the entire text of the book of Corinthians is found, don't turn there, but it's found in chapter 14 and verse 40, that all things be done decently and in order. Theologically speaking, it was at a point where there was such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church in Corinth. Are we together? There were diverse manifestations of the Spirit, and many of them did not know what to call it. They did not even know how to cooperate with that operation. So there was randomness. People were prophesying. This one would get up and heal. This one would do this. They started serving communion, and because there was no intelligent system of preservation, others would drink the communion and be tipsy. And Paul came and met a mess. And Paul said, no, sit down. Let's have a conference, a charismatic conference.
So the entire text of 1st and 2nd Corinthians was a theological exegesis on the operation of the Holy Spirit to now guide them. It was Paul that gave these attributes names. Today we can call it word of knowledge. Those who were walking in it did not know that was the name. They just knew that my organ of interaction is heightened and I can capture information past, present. Paul says, sit down, let me teach you. What a man. He deserves to be listened to. A man that can decipher the diverse operations of the spirit and classify them intelligently to edify the body. That one is not human. Are we together? May God bring us into that level of spiritual accuracy. Had Paul not created this balance, Pentecostals and charismatics would have been in trouble. Imagine if everybody just did everything like that. Because it's supernatural, you will not have the guts to say stop. But Paul taught us here that even spiritual things can be governed. There can be a system of order around them. What a man of authority. Are we together? So Paul, in this session, was teaching the people about the speakings of God. He started by talking about the hidden wisdom of God that had been hidden, that none of the princes of this world knew. So we'll read from there now. For had they known it, the Bible says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We're reading and stopping verse 12. It says, but as it is written, hallelujah, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared, say his will. Everybody say his will. His will, prepared. There were things God had prepared for them that what? Is there anyone here that God loves? Let me see your hand. He said, behold what manner of love the Father has. So we know we're not in that he loves us. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. So he's talking about me here. Are we together? That there are some things that are prepared, but I must know them. There has to be a mechanism to know the things that are prepared. If they are prepared, then it means it's his will. Are we together? There must be a system to access the things that are prepared. They are called prepared blessings. Prepared, but how do I access it to walk in it? Verse 10. But God had revealed them. Hallelujah. So God is not keeping them in the dark. They are prepared. And he's now revealing them. But God had revealed them unto us. How? Talk to me. By his spirit. And then Paul now wants to buttress on that point. And then he veers off to another thought. He says, for your information, the spirit has the ability to search the deep things. Now look at this. Remember, he's digressing a bit here. The context is that God reveals to us by his spirit. And Paul is saying, in case you don't know, the spirit can search how many things? Please talk to me. The spirit can search. Can he search where you need to be tomorrow? Can he search who you need to go with? Can he search who you need to do business with? Can he search where you need to be? Can he search where your favor is? Can he search what you need to do? How many things? Shout it, say all things. The advantage of the believer. That I stand at a point where there is a provision. Now, whether or not that becomes my experience is something else. But I'm saying that in Christ there is a possibility that all things, the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, the first dimension of the Godhead revealed in Scripture. The Spirit of God. Many people do not respect the Holy Spirit. Just because we pray in tongues and fall down, we believe that's all there is to him. No. The Spirit of God is a wonder. When the Holy Spirit comes and works with a life, he will turn that life into a wonder. It says, but God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Then he veers off. He says, for the Spirit searcheth all things. Even what? The deep things. Another word for deep things there is the secret things. Remember the Bible says the secret things of God. There are secret things. Not secret because he doesn't want you to know. In the New Testament, they are called mysteries. Informations and realities privy only to the saints in light. And let's see the mechanism. He buttresses on that point again. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save what? The spirit of that man. So when it comes to the knowledge and awareness of a man's thoughts, it is spirit that is responsible for that revelation. Are you getting what Paul is teaching here? Paul is saying that it is only the spirit of David Dam that is able. I must find a way of connecting with his spirit if I want to know what is in his mind. Now, occultists do this. Diviners do this. They have found a way of manipulating the realm of the spirit. They call it mind reading. They are tapping from this reality that the spirit of a man connected to another man's spirit. This is what happens in marriage that is so powerful. The couples look like themselves after a few years. It's a spirit connection. In theology, we call it the doctrine of interpenetration, the mystery by which two entities have become one. That a man's heart can be joined to another man. That he that is joined to Christ is what? Talk to me. Not one flesh, one spirit. So he wants to establish something very powerful. And he's saying, this is an established fact. What is the fact? That what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit which is in him. Even so, in that similitude, the things of God knoweth who? That means there is nobody, whether you are a prophet, whether you are an apostle, whether you are whatever, it is not given to you by yourself, outside of the assistance of the Holy Spirit, to tap into the thoughts of God. So there is no possibility of knowing the will of God if the Holy Spirit is exempt from the process. Is God helping us to understand this? He says, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Read verse 12. It says, now we have received, hallelujah. The Bible took out time to just flaunt the potentials of the Holy Spirit. Then when it's done, he now says, now, not tomorrow. Say now. Say it again, now. Now we have received. Who are the we? Not everybody. He's not talking here to everybody. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why did we receive him? Talk to me. That we may... Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That we may know the things, those prepared things. This is what makes us the chosen ones. This is what makes us a royal priesthood. This is what makes us called out. Do you know why? We have been introduced to a marvelous light, a body of truth. It is the presence of this advantage that separates us. That the Holy Spirit is given to an ordinary man and can cause that man to know. So you no longer will doubt. If I look at you and prophesy to you and I say things about you, there is no way of knowing. I'm giving you a spiritual basis so that you can know that, oh, it's true. If your pastor looks at you and says, God says, August is a month of celebration, a carnal man will look and say, this man, I thought we took tea yesterday. He does not know that the man you see standing is not all that you see. There is a system that has connected him, and you can receive spiritual signals. This is the basis for listening to, receiving from a man of God. The understanding that a man of God is not all a man. Are we together? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. We ignore him so much and we want to succeed. The Bible says, thou shalt hear a voice from behind. Thou shalt hear a voice from behind saying unto you. I think I wrote the scripture down here. I hope I can find it. I don't know where I kept it now. Thou shalt hear a voice from behind saying, this is the way. Walk in it. He says, you will not turn to the right. You will not turn to the left. Listen, let me tell you this. Any man that neglects the ministry of the Holy Spirit will fail. It's true. Will fail. No bias. I don't care how many visions of success you see. You will fail. Are we together? You can now see the power behind the book that your pastor, Reverend Tende, wrote. It was not just a book to communicate a man's spiritual intelligence. It's a major contribution to the body of Christ to say, people, you are neglecting a dimension that can stir up the workings of the Spirit in you, and I'm bringing this as a contribution to the body. To answer that question, that culture and our geographic context has caused people to be limited, and he's using it as a weapon to break through that divide. If there is anything today about my life that is not worthy, if there is anything today about my life that is worth talking about, it's not because I'm so smart. I have been foolish enough to hold his hands, the Spirit of the living God. That when the Holy Spirit holds your hand, the Holy Spirit is many things. The Holy Spirit is God too. The Holy Spirit is the creative dimension of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is the Spirit of power. He is the Spirit of glory. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of the wisdom of God. The Bible calls him the Spirit of glory. Are we together now? The Spirit of glory. Remember that the Holy Spirit, now I'm going to say something, I hope you have, this is, I'm grateful because of the kind of church that I'm preaching in. You know, sometimes when you are preaching somewhere, you want to say something, you are just saying, let me just be careful. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is what you call the way? The Holy Spirit does not bring eternal life. The Holy Spirit is eternal life. Whoever does not have his Spirit is none of his. It's in the Bible. It's not something he comes to keep and goes back. He's present in you. Are we together? He is the manifestation of the presence of Jesus to and in the believer. The life of God, the way. How do I know? It's that same Spirit that raised Christ. So Christ did not just get up just because he was the Word. That means the Word does not just raise up. Even in your life, the Word can be there in your heart, but it will be unfruitful until the Spirit comes to raise it up. The Word was in the grave and it was lying down there. Can be the word of prophecy, can be the word of anything. Just because it's the Word, the force behind the Word. Remember, the words are the thoughts of God, but the force that brings it alive is the Spirit of God. The same way the Spirit raised Christ from the dead, he will raise every prophecy you have received in your heart. You see that now? He is the life-giving Spirit. So the Word was lying down. Do you know if the Holy Spirit did not come, the Word will remain there? The only thing is that the Word will not suffer corruption. It will not rot, but it will remain there. Jesus, your Jesus, will lie down there. There's no possibility of corruption. Are we together? Because it's the Word. And so he lied down there. So the Holy Spirit came to raise him up. His blood had been drained out. The Holy Spirit did not bring blood. He came with another life and resurrected him. And Jesus said, look at the holes in my hand. I'm still alive. The holes in my side. He didn't run to go and stitch it quickly so that the blood, no blood again. Mortality had been swallowed up by immortality. So, he said, as my Father has sent me, not as he walked on earth. There is a big difference between the Jesus that walked on earth and the glorified Christ. Are we together? For instance, the Jesus that walked on earth could only send men with his name. He couldn't send them with his Spirit. He gave them his name. The first Adam was what? A quickening soul. Meaning you can only partake and you can only use what you have to bless others, but you cannot reproduce. The possibility for reproduction was not there. But the second Adam, Christ, is now not only a quickening soul, he's a life-giving Spirit. The substance of who he is can be reproduced to another person. It is on that basis he called many sons to glory. Are we together now? The presence of his Spirit in you is how he initiated you into that realm. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. He says, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like. The only way we know what we shall be like is to look at the one who is already.
So we look at him as we behold him, we now begin to conform. Are we together? Like a mirror, we are changed.
The Spirit can speak.
But what is the key to hearing the Spirit speak? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. Jesus. Please just give me volume. Revelation chapter 1. Please read with me the first five words, if you can. One, two, read. One more time. One more time. One more time. The Bible says, for to be carnal-minded is death. It says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It says, that which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. When it has to do with the speakings of God, it's not in the realm of flesh and blood. Are we together? He looked at Peter. He said, who do men say that I am? And everybody was saying, you are Elias, you are one of the prophets. He said, but you, who do you say that I am? And Peter, by the Spirit, said, I know who thou art. He said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And then he says, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed. That means you don't hear God. You don't receive this revelation of the voice, the speakings of God. Although your spirit is hosted by flesh and blood, when it has to do with that spiritual communication, it is deep calling to deep. It is spirit responding to your spirit. You hear God by and from your spirit. Listen carefully. You don't hear God with your physical ears. No matter how you think you heard him, you don't hear God just with your mind. You hear God by and from your spirit. Please listen very carefully. But I told you that the language of the spirit is not English. You will write, I remember one time, the anointing of the spirit was upon me and I wrote a whole page of prophecy in Yoruba. I'm not a Yoruba person. I don't know anything about Yoruba. Okay, well, a few things and all of that. But then I wrote a whole prophecy in Yoruba. And when I finished, I had to call my friend to say, this is what came from the Lord. And he took time, he said, ah, this is deep Yoruba. And then he started reading favor dance for me. This and that and that. And some of the things I wrote, he was shouting because the proverbs, wise sayings, deep wise sayings. How would I have known? The Spirit. Now, let me tell you this. And this is where, if you are in to the, any kind of the prophetic ministry, whether as a gift or an office, listen, I'm about to teach something that will change your life now. The biggest error in the prophetic ministry, pastor, comes right from here. The error is not reception. Remember, the goal is not for it to remain in your spirit. The word must become flesh to dwell among men. We want to behold it. So there must be that technology, a system of drawing it from the realm of the spirit. This is where Satan is the master of that realm, the master manipulator of the speakings of God, especially as it relates to interpretation and execution. Just give me a few more minutes and we'll pray. Is God still blessing us tonight? Are we together? So the Bible says the entrance of thy word. Question, where does it enter? Your ears?
No.
Your spirit, correct? Now, that word, listen very carefully. Remember the Bible says the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is that fire that comes upon your candle. And then when the candle is lit, you can now see with it. Are we together? And then the Bible now says, listen very carefully. When the Lord speaks to the spirit of a man, he speaks light. That's why if you have had any visionary encounter, you find out that in the realm of the spirit, words don't really, you can have an encounter and there will be minimal use of words. In the realm of the spirit, the authorized system of communication is the light of God. Are you seeing, I don't want to derail, help me Holy Spirit, but are you seeing what was the basis of Lucifer's power? His office was the light bearer, the custodian of the mysteries of God. Are we together now? This was what made Lucifer look like he was so exalted. I hope you know angels don't grow old. You measure the age of angels by the light they emit, which is a product of how much of the word of God. They also live by the word of God. Just because they are angels, celestial beings, without the word, in him was not anything made that was made. Are we together now? Yes. He said, for nothing that was made without, how did he put it? John chapter 1. He said, there was nothing that was made without him. Paraphrasing. So even the angels depend on the word of God. You can know their age by how much they excel in light, the psalmist told us. And your excellence in light. And let me tell you, this is also how your spirit and the health of your spirit is measured spiritually. Remember, Jesus showed us the spirit man in the transfiguration. What was that? Pure light. Unapproachable light. So as I grow, my spirit man is illuminated. And I can know. This is what demons see in the realm of the spirit. They don't just search for what brain, what English. No, Paul, I know. I know what I see. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Sons of Sceva. The light of God. That spiritual illumination that comes. The brightness. Are we together now? From that brightness, please listen very carefully. The voice of God. And also the power of God comes from that light. Shabakatosi. So when the Lord speaks, he speaks light. Everybody say light. But your spirit man receives light. But your mind, listen carefully, your mind will need to find a way. Remember, the bridge between your body and your spirit is your mind. Are we together? Yes. Your mind will have to permit me to use the word downgrade that spiritual reality to a format that you can now understand. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, this is where the problem is. Remember, the Bible tells us that this warfare of a believer happens in the realm of the mind. Remember? Yes. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination, is the Greek word yezar, and bringing every thought, holding it captive and bringing it to the knowledge of God. This is the realm where Satan prevails. Now listen very carefully. The word of God, scripture now, I mean, is God's authorized mechanism of interpreting the light of God so that a believer can understand. Listen, that means the greater the word content in my spirit, the more accurate I am giving the Holy Spirit a variety of options to accurately minister that light so that I can receive. Are we together? Meaning that I can be a prophet, for instance. Now, with due respect, you know, I don't talk against the body of Christ at all. So if I'm giving this example, it's not out of sarcasm. I love the body. I'm sent to the body. Are we together? Please listen. But then I'm just trying to create something and to create balance. I can be an apostle of God, or a prophet of God, or a pastor, or a teacher, whatever I am. And pastor, my mind is not renewed. Are we together? Now watch this. If my mind is not renewed, my mind is still not empty. There is still something in my mind. Culture is in my mind. The herbal medicine and the herbal practice is in my mind. Every other thing is in my mind. Now watch the drama. The light comes from heaven. Remember, when God appeared and spoke to Paul, what did Ananias say he saw? All of them saw light. But Ananias said, Jesus, who appeared to you? But the other people saw light. All they saw was light. God is light. So that light comes to you. And now look at the labor. You will now see why God says, is there anything too hard? This is where the too hard comes. There is no instrument of conversion based on the level and the degree. Are we together? Reverend Rubandoma tells us, building on the word. This is where the advantage comes. You are providing resources. This is your partnership with the Holy Spirit. Your labor in word is to create a system of accommodation for any dimension of the speakings of God to find a way of reaching you with accuracy. Now, watch this. Remember, I'm bankrupt of the word in this example. And the Lord gives me a revelation. and I interpret that revelation, because all I know, I still have the flesh alive, culture and whatever, I will be forced, and sadly, God will be limited. You see, they limited the Holy One. This is how they limited him. God is now limited by the allowance I have given him. And you can see the difficulty in penetrating my mind. And I will receive a revelation that is full of error. It is not a revelation of God's potentials. It is the limitation that my mind has given. So the Bible says, let this mind. Permit this mind to be in you. If you truly want to function like Christ in experience, it's not just enough to say you are in Christ. You must walk the word and permit this mind to be in you. There was an understanding that was in Christ. Remember, he came as a Nazarene, and there was a cultural context. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth, but he was at the temple. You see the advantage of what he was doing at the temple? Because the Holy Spirit would be speaking and communicating with him, and he needed a word bank, a residue of the word within his mind. Your mind plays a role to your victory. It's not your spirit alone. Believers have spirits that are alive, but our minds are disoriented. We have other systems of intelligence outside of the Word of God. This is where whatever spiritual investment we must make to get the Word is profitable. The Bible gives the Word of God a business communication. That the word is profitable. You don't run away from profit. If believers understood this, they would not just do quiet time as a ritual and then leave it. No. That you are doing yourself harm because you are creating a system of difficulty. When the weightier matters of the will of God and destiny now comes, there is no faculty of receiving it with accuracy. So my being alive in the word creates faith and provision. Are we together? I can come from a culture that says if you see a ring in the spirit, it is bondage. If you see a shade, it is bondage. If you see a shoe, it is speed. If you see a person, it means a human being. There is no basis for all of those things. Now watch this. Because my mind, remember I'm anointed. Are we together? Say anointed. Not your pastor now, my example. Are we together? Remember, I'm anointed. Now, the Lord is showing me a vision on Pastor Shego. And I look at Pastor Shego and I see a chain. I do not have a word bank to give accurate interpretation. I will be forced to interpret that prophecy from the lens of the information I have. And God will look helpless. So I can say, sir, you are in bondage. I wish that I saw a chain. Pastor, you are in bondage. Just when God told you are moving into superior dimensions. And then you look at me now and say, you are lying. And I'm confused. You are confused. Two of us are now standing and say, what is this? And I go back and say, God, but I'm an innocent person. Is it a lie? Didn't I see? You saw, but you didn't see well. So he touched his eyes again. He said, what do you see? He said, I saw men like trees. They are not trees. I know what that man saw. It's the same thing that he said. He said, they that be planted in the house of the Lord. You can see men like trees. It is true that God can use that similitude. But in that context, God wanted him to see men clearly. So you can stop at a dimension. Seeing men like trees. Seeing progress like failure. Seeing evil like good. There needs to be accuracy. Is God speaking to us? God forbid, but let me give an example again. I'm using Pastor Shego because he's a pastor. If I use you and you're afraid after the service, at least let me use him because he knows. Are we together now? If I call anybody in the congregation, you may be afraid. So at least a man of God whose mind has been built by the word. Watch this. Let's assume that I stand here now and I see a vision of an accident. Watch this. It may not be a lie. Listen very carefully. That I just looked and I saw the vision of an accident. And Pastor Shego is planning to travel maybe this night. And I stood as an anointed man of God. Am I boring you? And I see an accident. Now, what God has shown me, if allowed to pass through the lens of the word, it will be interpreted in such a way that the interpretation itself will bind that spirit. Are we together? The moment I see that vision, there are so many scriptures weeping in my mind as that light is coming. because God is a good God. So I know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. Now I'm seeing something, and I know that the spirit of revelation comes from God. He is showing me as proof of his confidence in my ability to change it. Are we together now? If you don't have capacity, you will not see certain things. That's why in Egypt, everyone was broke. So God had to use the man who had the influence and showed him the dream. Because even if someone else saw the dream, he didn't have the influence to effect it. God looks at capacity to trust men with these things. He gave unto one 5, 2, and 1 according, not according to his will, according to their ability. And the end of the parable proved he was right. Say amen. So I look at it now, and listen, I'm explaining something now. I'm receiving it. Is it the will of God? No. Pastor Shegu is traveling, and it's not always about saying don't travel. No, I've seen danger. What if he's going to go and meet his wife? What if he's going to go and pay his child's school fees? Are we together? Now I have seen that God is dependent, is depending on my level of renewal to do something about that situation that will bring him glory. On the strength of what I know about God, I can stand, for I am a man under authority, and I can tell the one, go, and he goeth. Are we together? And the Bible says that God did not leave anything under man's feet. He himself is the head of principalities and powers. And the Bible says we've been raised together with him, and we have been made to sit. He has given us a name. This is what is working in my mind. And I may not even need to tell Pastor Shegu, because I know that these events are impactful. And the Bible says, Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things, the truth is not a correct information. The truth is a word-compliant information. It may be sociologically correct. If it's not word-compliant, it's a lie. So, on the strength of that scripture, I don't want him to think of something wrong. So I may not even need to tell him. I stand and speak and say it's done. Pastor, may God bless you. Say, Johnny. And then he goes. Let me tell you this. I don't know how many times, Pastor, I have received text messages from very accurate, you know, because I travel a lot. I meet with a lot of people, prophets, apostles, great people of God, pastors, and I know they love me with all their heart. And sometimes I'm on my way to the airport and someone is sending me a text, Apostle, and accurately, you are at the airport now. I said, oh yes, man of